The housekeeping staff wears blue, though. That's good. The housekeeping staff wears blue. So they are different. But I'd never thought about that.
Hey, you just think of it.
Yeah, because people identify.
When you go into the hospital and you see the doctors and nurses in white,
mm-hmm.
or the surgeon are in green, and you know right away that they're graduate nurses, or that they're nurses. Mm-hmm. And you see the committee, you know that they're LPNs, or you know the LPNs from the maids, because maybe the maids will have blue and one can have stripes, or a green or something.
Mm-hmm.
It would make a big difference.
I think you're right. Maybe people would take them more seriously.
They would. They yeah. would. Because the doctor said that's why they didn't. He said if they tried to wear look decent and wear white like they're supposed to do, that the lowest worker in the hospital will come in and white just like yours.
Uh-huh.
You can't tell the difference, and it creates a bad feeling for the doctors, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I did, I guess. And I think it's just been followed through the doctor before he leaves tells the other doctor why they don't wear white, and they just keep doing it. Or,
yeah. It seems like the people used to know the doctors a lot better than they do now, too.
They did, and they would now if they were white and were distinguished from other
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody used to be able to talk about, you know, like Dr. Holt. Everybody talks about him with a lot of respect and everything, and they really thought highly of him. But they don't seem to even know who works up there now. Don't know anything about him.
I don't know any of them. I know Dr. Trigan, that's all. I don't know any of the other doctors. And the nurses could wear white, and the graduate nurses, they should wear their caps.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I hadn't thought. Yeah, I guess you're right. They don't too much anymore
at
all.
You've got to do something like that to create, so that you can be noticed
mm-hmm.
and know, and let people know. They see you with a cap, they know you're a graduate nurse, and you're there with white on, and no cap. They don't wear caps, half of them.
Mm-hmm.
The LPNs can have a cap of their own, you know, whether they're LPNs or whether they're nurses. And I think it'd make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't hurt trying it for a while.
Mm-hmm, it wouldn't.
It'd be worth a shot.
Mm-hmm. When Mrs. Floyd was up there, she kept them on the ball. Real good.
Yeah, I heard a story about one of them that was real strict about the way they dressed. Right down to their shoelaces being clean. I can't remember if that was her or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I think you need that strong backbone.
I know. They need to be distinguished.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel it anyway. I don't know what anybody else does or not, but I can see. I know, you know. When you go into a general hospital right away, you know who's your doctor and who isn't. But they're getting kind of careless too. But
yeah, they really are. But yeah, if you see that, then maybe people don't think these are real doctors down here.
That's right. They say they're just like interns. Or
mm-hmm. They have so many students coming in and out of there, maybe they just... It's hard to tell.
But they could create the respect if they had, you know, could be distinguished
mm-hmm.
from the other people.
That's a good point.
I think it is too. You mm-hmm. use that.
Yeah, that'd be a good one, because that wouldn't cost them anything. And
no, it wouldn't cost them a thing, and they don't pay respect to the doctors like they used to. It's not the doctor you're respecting, it's the mm-hmm. profession.
Oh yeah, the individual may be no good at all, but it is the
profession.
Because so much of your illness is affected by how you think, mm-hmm. if you believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe somebody can help you, then a good chance they
mm-hmm.
can.
Yeah. They let the age get out of the medicine nowadays too.
Mm. Do they?
I didn't think that.
Isn't there some legal problem with that? I don't know what.
I don't know whether they do it yet or not. But.
Yeah. I know by law there's certain things that can be done and can't be done. Yeah. Yes, you're careful about that.
Do you know Miss Bird?
No.
She worked up there. She's a doctor's aide, I think. She's good. She must be about ready to retire. She's been there a long time. I don't know anybody. I know Miss Bird. I know Myrtle, and I know Mary Wolf, and I know some of the LPNs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I know many of them. I never grew up there anymore.
Just stay healthy. That's your best bet. If you can do that, then you'll be okay.
I could have given you some coffee or something.
Oh, that's fine. I enjoyed it. I appreciate you talking to me. I'd like to come back.
I wish you'd come back. Come back and stay with me sometime.
Okay.
I got plenty of room. I want to stay alone or somebody come and stay with me at night.
Yeah, I have to come down sometime. I enjoyed it. I could just listen forever. You should have written a book about your experiences. I bet
I've had so many. My funniest experience about life, I had a woman that was blind, just about blind, and we went to a funeral down Bert over here at Bethel. And this graveyard up on the hill. Well, she used to live right at the bottom of the hill. And her husband worked at the school. When he got work at the school, they moved to the school, and their house was just there. But before they moved to the school, they had just built a new little house. They had an outhouse. They didn't have running water like they have now. Every home has running water in their toilets nowadays. But in those days, there were outhouses. And we were coming down the hill from the cemetery, and she said, Ollie said, oh, Lula, Lula. She said, I've got to go to the toilet. And I said, well, are you right here? She said, yes. She said, we built a new toilet right down there. Our house right by my old house. She said, we stopped there. And I looked up and I saw all this long line of people coming out. I said, oh, my goodness, can't you wait? She said, no. And she took me by the hand. She said, come on, take me to the toilet. She said, they won't know which one of us has to go. So we went, and I went in as much dignity as I could with all those people going by, and led her in, and she stepped in, and I stepped in and went to pull the door shut. I couldn't budge it. It was wedged into the bank.
No.
And I said, Olive, I can't shut this door. She said, oh, I'm just about to pee on myself. I said, well, you just have to pee on yourself, baby. And she said, just wait a minute. She said, I'll shut it. Well, I stepped aside, and they had a box nailed up there with newspapers in it. But it hadn't been used in a long time. And I put my hand up on the box like this, just standing there, holding onto it inside the door. I don't know why I did it, but I did. And she stepped out and jerked that door and pulled it. She said, now I shut it. She shut the door. And shut the door, and just as she stepped over toward the hole, the house began to turn over.
Oh,
floppity flop, I went. I was hanging onto that box, and she was kneeling down at the toilet. She said, oh, Lula, Lula, Lula. I said, don't call on me. I said, call on the Lord.
Oh,
and
no.
We rolled over, and when they house hit the ground first time, the roof fell off. Well, it went on rolling down, and we just bumped and bumped. I don't know how she kept from falling over. She was hanging onto the, kneeling down by the seat, toilet seat, hanging onto that and screaming.
no.
And my feet would flop. I hung onto the box and would lean me over and over like, and it finally jumped a little stream down below and then rocked back and forth and quit. And she said, "Did anybody see us?" I said, "Did anybody see us?" All those people coming down the hill. I said, and so we, I said, "I'm not coming out here until they go by." Well, somebody looked down and said, "Oh, Lord have mercy," he said, "that that little house is falling over. There's somebody in it." He said, "I know they're killed." And he had a baby in his arm and he threw it way out in the grass, you know, and started running down the hill. So by that time, I said, "Well, I'll look and see if it's nearly down." And I stuck my head up. By that time, he said, "Lord have mercy, there's somebody in there." And he said, "And I know they're killed," he said. "I know they're killed." And he threw his baby out, nearly killed it out in the weeds. And I stuck my head up. I said, "Ha ha ha ha, duck my kid."
Oh,
this is that crazy Lou.
How embarrassing.
I wouldn't come out. Some of the women came down and said, "I'm not coming out of here." I said, "Those people get gone." I said, "And I'll live in peace always."
She finally got to go.
Good thing I didn't have to go. Oh my, that was the funniest and the most, one of the most dangerous experiences I guess I ever had. But just imagine being in the little house and having it roll over down, turned over, and
the roof flies off.
And she sat down, you know, just knelt down and hung on to the toilet there. And it didn't throw, she hung on her hard enough, but it didn't throw her over. But my feet went over and over like that. And I was still hanging onto the box.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that'd be awful.
And my husband was still living that time. And I came home and I didn't tell him a word about it. And Dr. Minger came down and he checked Olive to see if she was hurt for sure. And Dr. Minger came down and he said, "Well, how's the record?" My husband said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Your wife. Did you know she was a record?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, it's a record." And he told, Dr. Meager told him about us falling over in the little house. He said, "She never said a word about it," he said. He said, "I'm going to go." He said, "When did it happen?" Dr. Meager said, "Yesterday." And that old Jack came running down here and he said, "Did you get hurt?" He said, "Why did you say something about it?" And I said, "What, did you get hurt?" I bruised up, my leg was all bruised. I said, "I didn't say anything about it. Why?" I said, "I just didn't think about it." He said, "Well, it can scare me to death, you know."
Oh, gosh. Oh, I bet those people just talked about that for days.
Yeah, do. Even now sometimes they tell about it. They tell about a lot of things that happen.
Oh, boy.
I went to Robinsville one time and the bridge had washed out. And it was a confinement case. And I would have had to go way down to cross the river to get up to that house. And the man had an old white horse out there. And he said, "Lily," he said, "I'll just send this horse across to you. You ride it back over." And I said, "Okay." So I said, "I've got all this." He said, "I'm going to wade over and I'll bring you back, pack over." He said, "I'll wade over." And so he was going farther down where it runs the deep, and I got on the horse and went over, and the thing went to jump up the bank, and I slipped off in its back, went all the way down, right in the middle of the stream. And I had to go up, and that woman, all she had was an old long dress. I'll tell you, it had a yoke here, and sleeves that come down there with ruffles on it, and a long skirt with a ruffle on it. I had to put that on while I delivered the baby, and my clothes died.
I bet she died when she saw you coming up the road.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't stand. I was bareback, and
it
was just straight up, and I just kept sliding back because the thing didn't kick me when I fell in the creek. And the man was standing in the middle of the stream. He hadn't gone over to get my pack yet, and he was scared to death. He thought maybe I'd get hurt. And it was just waist deep. I said, I came on, went on up to the house. It was as gradual as could be. But oh, we laughed about that so many times.
Oh gosh. You've been through the ringer. Yeah. I'm surprised you survived. Boy, they really made you work for your pay. Yeah.
Yeah, the first 2 years I worked, I just, you know, did it on my own. Oh, I'd always call the doctor and ask him what to do. I never did it on my own exactly. I would get the doctor's advice, and if I thought he needed to come, I'd
call. Oh, wow. That's really something. Mm-hmm.
I've had so many funny things happen.
How's Mark doing?
Huh?
How is Mark doing? Have you heard from him?
So I guess it was about 8 months to each day out there. I came home and then I got a letter from him, notice from him saying he was out and that he had a home in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had a farm there. 3 acre farm, lemon farm, and a chicken farm that he had an old couple living on.
Uh-huh.
And so that's where we were going to go, but we didn't get out there.
Did he come here?
Mm-hmm. Oh. He was to meet me in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you get tired of it. But when I was on the train and going to Oklahoma City, I was on the train in Shawnee. A girl got on, and we sat there a while, and finally she said, "What tribe are you?" And I said, "I'm an Eastern Cherokee." And she said, "I'm Indian too," but she said, "I don't know what tribe." And she said, "My grandma never would claim Indian. She didn't want to be Indian," said. "She wouldn't claim Indian, she never would tell us. But I know she's from one of the Carolinas," she said.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "What's your..." Not thinking, you know, just to make some conversation. I said, what's your grandma's name? What was her name? I said, maybe if she's from Cherokee, I don't know. Said her name was, Harris. Her last name was Harris, and she was Harris. And I said, "Well," I said, "my mother was a cow, but she belonged to Harris. She was a Harris. There's Betsy and Nancy and Susanna." She said, "My grandmother's name was Nancy," she said.
"Oh, no."
"Nancy Harris, her maiden name." "Well," I said, "I had an aunt that ran away from home. She eloped. She married a fellow by the name of Brady. And she moved, and last they heard from her, well, she was at, not the last, but I said, then they heard from her, she was living in Caney, Texas." She said, "Well, my grandmother lived in Caney, Texas, and she married a Brady." And I said, "Well, Brady died, but she's not a Brady now." "Yes, but she said, well, did your aunt have any children? I said, yes, she had two children. She had a boy by the name of Henry and a girl by the name of Lily. She said, Lily is my mother.
Oh, boy.
After all those years, you know, Aunt Nancy had just run away from home when she was a girl. And I said, well, one other thing. I said, she's married to a Starkey now. She said, that's my grandmother.
Oh,
and
wow.
And she said, and where are you going? I said, I'm going to California. I'm in Arizona. And they belong to California, I said. And she said, you're going down with me to Bradley, Oklahoma before you go on. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, well, let's see, I'm meeting my husband in Oklahoma City. We decided that was halfway and he was going to meet me there. And so when I got there, I went to the telegraph office and he said, we'll be 4 days late. Unavoidable. He said, we'll be 4 days late. And he said, have made reservations at the Skirvin Hotel for you. So I went and sure enough, they made the reservation. And she said, he's not coming for 4 days. She said, let's just put your things up there and go on down to Glenmore.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, if she never wanted to be an Indian, I don't think she'd want to see me. And I said that. She said, anyway, we're going. She said, I'm getting tired of people laughing at me when I say I'm Indian and can't prove it. So we went down, and Aunt Nancy was glad to see me, glad to know the news of all her folks back here.
Uh-huh.
And then we went, next day we went out to Lindsay, where Bailey lived. Lily and her family lived. They married the Ballard. I found out that, I went to church with them, and she introduced me as her cousin. Her first cousin. And she said, Diane, said, you've always made fun of me for saying I'm an Indian. She said, you can't do it anymore. She said, my grandmother and her grandmother are sisters. So then Aunt Nancy begged me to... She was sick, and she begged me to stay with her since I was a nurse. And I stayed with her for 3 months, and that left Jack Footloose. He came on to Oklahoma City and then came on down to Bradley, and he stayed around Bradley a few days and got restless. He said, Lou, I'm going back to Oklahoma City. He said, I'll just fool around there until you get ready to, go. And he said, he promised Aunt Nancy that I could stay with her.
Mm-hmm.
And because she knew she was going to die, but she knew she couldn't last long. She was old. And so he went back there, and he went to Oklahoma City, and in 2 or 3 days he got a job. He was an expert accountant, and he worked for the Wilson Packing Company, meat packing company.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good job. He worked there during the day, and at night he acted as shipping crook. So he held on 2 jobs and was doing well. By the time my Aunt Nancy died, when she died, she left me her home and her land. And the people picked such a fuss about it, and I just told them to keep it. I wanted it. So then we never did get to Arizona. We came on back here.
He just gave up his job and
came back. He took over a store here for a man, and took over the store and post office, and worked in that, and we were here ever since.
Did you live here?
Mm-hmm.
In this house?
Not this house. We were in an old house. I had this built out there. We had planned this. We were going to tear the old house down.
Uh-huh.
It belonged to my aunt and uncle. The old place did. And we, after they gave it up, after they let us have it, we bought the land. And we planned this house and just got ready to have a man come in and tear the old house down and build it. We built a cabin up on the hill to live in while they were building the new home, and he died.
Mm.
He had young jaundice, so They said it was hepatitis, but it wasn't an ordinary hepatitis. The man came from Washington. They sent specimens away of his blood, and they said that he had a disease that's prevalent in the Far East. They never have it anywhere but in the Far East. And they wanted to know if he had ever lived in the Far East. And when he was a boy, he lived in Egypt for a long time. I mean, until he was almost grown with his older brother. And that's what he developed. They said it had laid dormant all those years until he got sick or some weak spot it found in him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't sick. He just kept getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And when he died, the undertaker said he didn't have a drop of red blood in his body. It was all just yellow serum.
Oh, that's
great. And then I took the insurance money and I made it his house. And we had four children, 13 years.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I'm not telling you what you want to hear.
Yeah, but it was so interesting.
About the work, but there's not much to tell except that I went around and took care of people.
Well, did the doctor that was at the school, he just stayed associated with the school, or he moved into the...
He didn't make home calls.
Uh-huh.
No. But after... They made changes, and after that, they had a doctor who would make calls.
Is that Dr. Holt that people talk about?
Dr. Holt came, and he began to make home calls, and he was really good. Yep.
But
there was a Dr. Oberlander with our first... I wish I had that old picture down, took it home. I've got a picture of all the old school employees when it was the Quaker school.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Oberlander was the doctor then. And then they had... Dr. Holt was here for years, and then he went away and finally came back again. And he was really good to the people. He made calls. I worked with him a lot.
Everybody seems to remember him and really liked him.
Yeah.
But did they have some more come in while he was gone? Or say, it seems like for a while, from what I understand, there was just a lot of them coming through.
They came and left, school doctors.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Linger, I can't remember all of them.
It just seemed like there was just a whole mess of them.
Dr. Holt and Dr. Waller. We had a Dr. Waller from Washington. He lived in Washington. Dr. Holt, Dr. Waller, and Dr. Minger. And Dr. Pajon.
Mm-hmm. He's the one that married that nurse up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Married Miss Birch.
Uh-huh.
He was a... Miss Brett, one was a professional ball player. They were separated. Yeah, you know much about that, don't
I? I just know really bare bones of it. But she stayed up. She was just like the hospital nurse, right? She was okay.
Mm-hmm. Nursing profession has changed so much since.
Yeah.
I don't know why they want to be higher or why they have to go to school. They go to school and then just spend a few hours with patients. And when they should spend all day with patients and a few hours in school. I mean, they would make better nurses, I believe.
There's some nurses, when they get out, from what I understand, that never see patients. They just take care of records all day.
I was up here at the hospital, and a graduate nurse came in. I mean, she had been working up there. And the doctor told me she didn't know anything, hardly. She didn't know. Well, I was sitting in the hall waiting, and they brought a patient in that was having an abortion. And she'd been bleeding. And they put her on the table there. And in the meantime, an accident case came in, and the doctor had to leave that patient to go to check on the accident case. And he told his nurse, he said, drape her for me. He said, drape her, fix her, get her ready for me to examine her. This nurse, and she went and got a sheet and just spread over her. And she sat there at the table in the hall, and she goes, and this woman in there was groaning, and I just couldn't sit there any longer. So I got up and went to the door, and I saw that she was bleeding bad. So I looked around and saw the stirrups there, and I got the stirrups and put them up and put her up in stirrups and draped her, you know, like you drape them for examination. And so her pain stopped a little while after I cleaned her up. I put clean pads on and cleaned her up. And when the doctor came in and went in, sorry, he said, my goodness, I mean, got a nurse here at last, he said. He thought that the nurse had fixed her. And she said, thank you for fixing her for me, he said. I mean, got help at last, something like that. And she said, I didn't do it. I didn't fix her. And he said, well, who did? Said, somebody had fixed her that knows how to do it. And she said, Mrs. Glorin did it. And Mrs. Glorin, he's Mrs. Glorin, he was new up there. And she said, pointed at me, and he said, are you a nurse? I said, oh, I used to be. And he said, well, these nurses up here just don't know how to drape a patient. They don't know how to do anything. Half of them don't, he said. Well, some did, I guess. They're not all bad.
No. But it's changed an awful lot. How long did... When did you stop doing field nurse?
Oh, a long time. I, after my husband died, I asked for transfer, and I got transferred. Went to Oklahoma, and I worked out there 9 years.
Oh.
After I got out of the... After we went to Oklahoma, I nursed, did public health work in Oklahoma for until we moved back here.
And did you do it when you came back here?
Mm-hmm.
Did you take it up again here?
Uh-huh. I didn't want to. Jack didn't want me to work, but they kept coming, and you... And we got here one day, and the next morning, there's a man out there, he said, Lula, my wife's in labor. He said, the doctor and nurse were there all night, and he said, they left, said she wasn't ready to deliver. And he said, she's got hard pain. She lived below here.
Uh-huh.
And he said, they told me you came home last night, so I just thought I'd come and get you. And I said, well, you better go call the doctor back, because he just left. She said, he said, she wasn't ready to deliver. And I went down there and delivered the baby before the doctor came back. And it just started from then on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Then I was the first public health nurse. They were nurses at the hospital.
But that came later?
Mm-hmm.
That came later when it, the public health part?
They never had it here until after, until they opened it for me.
Uh-huh.
My birdie?
Yeah, he's so pretty.
Be like that pillow there.
This one here?
Making it for the senior citizens. They sell them.
Uh-huh, I've seen those up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're so pretty. I saw old cardinal.
It's a cardinal.
Uh-huh. With the dogwoods.
There's a woman over there that cuts them out and puts them on, but I've changed it some. I wanted to put claws down there, but I didn't do it. I thought they wouldn't be used to changing what she planned it, and I give it to her, and she fixes it. And they sell them for $8. Make money for the senior service.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice center they've got down there. That's a nice center they've got down there. Nice place for them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Where are you located?
What, here?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I sort of work in and out of the hospital.
Up here?
Uh-huh.
No, I keep hearing that a lot of the nurses are getting ready to leave up there. Is that true?
I don't know.
Two nurses I know going. I sent the girls out and I told them exactly where to go and what to do. If it was bath day, they gave the bath. Two of them worked together. And so we got along just fine. I don't know how many. I think there were about 12 people with bed sores on them. And they just getting bigger and bigger. And they were diabetics, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we made them go to the hospital for treatments and dress the sores. And they had been to a doctor, and the doctor said, wash it off and just wash it off. Gave them a solution, tell them wash it off every day. You can't wash a sore off every day. I know from experience. I know the old doctor say, dress a sore, give it time to heal. And can't do it on the third day or fourth day. Because when you wash a sore off every day, you wash off new granulation and your sore just gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
You don't give your skin time to form because you're constantly washing it off. But they don't think of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we cured quite a few of them. I mean, they got well.
Yeah.
You taught them how to take care of themselves. They just were made to think that the sore would never get well. One man had a sore on his leg for 25 years and got well and died with a heart attack later on. He set a shotgun down and shot the calf on his leg.
Uh-huh.
And he had that sore for 25 years, he told me, when I found him. Oh, it was just rough. And I went down and started dressing him, and I said, you go to the house? He said, no, every time I go to the hospital, he said, they won't take my leg off. And I said, well, there's nothing wrong with the bone. I don't think they'd take your leg off. Everywhere, he said, go to the veterans hospital. Won't take off my leg. No, I'll keep my leg, he said. So I came into it, and I noticed that right away that new granulation started around the edges, and I was very much encouraged, and I just kept at it, and it had healed in about that much. And I said, you ought to go to the hospital. I said, they can take skin off from your leg and put it on there, and it'll heal. It'll get well quicker. And he couldn't believe it first, but finally he got so he believed me. And so one day here he came to the hospital up there, and they gave him bandage and dressing like they'd just been given and told him to go home and take care of him. No, I'll not go home, he said. I stay. And they said, no, you take care of it home. No, I stay. He said, Lula, say, I stay, I stay. They just hate me for that. And he stayed, and his sore got well.
Oh,
he went home and, you know, got along and enjoyed a few years of life without that sore after 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that's wonderful.
And we had some in big COVID that after a little attention, it just healed right up. And then we gave bed baths, and I saw that they took the laundry to the laundry and washed their, I had sheets, we furnished sheets and pillowcases for them.
Mm-hmm.
For the terminal cases. There were quite a few old people who had been sick a long time, tuberculosis and I don't know what all. And we did a lot of work. They don't do that anymore.
They don't have that program anymore, do they?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
No, it's they divided it up into other programs.
Oh.
Like the Charlotte Taylor has a
No, the CHR program?
CHR program was part of that. Oh. And the CHR and Ed Taylor had a program. There were quite a few other programs along with that. But mine was home visiting. And after going around and seeing people and finding out what the health programs were doing, they have so many health programs. And I found out those were the ones that were neglected, and those were the ones we took care of.
Mm-hmm.
The girls were real good. Leona, I had trouble with Leona. She always wanted to do what she wanted to do. That's what I was going to get at. No, I said, you do what I tell you to do. But Richard did it. No, you can't. I said, you do what I want you to do. And that's what should happen up here.
Mm-hmm. You need that strong leadership.
A strong leadership.
Mm-hmm.
If you they sit and crochet and read and I've seen them up there and sewing or knitting or doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of waiting on the patients. I don't know that it happens all the time, but I know when I was in the hospital, I that's what they did. And some of the programs now that they're supposed to make home visits. I see them sitting up at the senior citizen there, crocheting and embroidering and knitting and doing something for themselves all day long. They don't even go up like they should.
Mm-mm. No, they should. If you get out to people and you talk to them and you find out what's going on, then you can do something. If you don't know what's going on, nothing's going to
happen. No, I know. And Gladys was good. They didn't like her. Gladys Griffin, I don't know whether you know her name.
No.
But she was up there. She had charge, and she told them that they were being paid to work and do things, not sit and read or crochet. And mm-hmm. they just fought her tooth and nail because she bossed them.
Hmm.
She was hard on them because she wanted them to do their work instead of idling their time away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's so many of these programs. They don't make them do.
Yeah, it's like the goals are being lost. Forgetting what the goals are.
I know.
It's like that all over healthcare, though. You know, people talk about money all the time now and about maintaining costs.
Money.
And so many people have just lost sight of the patients.
And the doctors, they're at fault too, a lot. They should try to do more than they do, people think. But if you know that they're public health doctors, you can know why they don't go all out for doctoring, because in public health is to teach people to prevent diseases,
mm-hmm.
prevent getting sick, prevention. They teach prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And after you get sick, when you are sick, you don't go to a public health hospital, you go to a general hospital. But people don't understand that.
Yeah.
If you understand that, you know why they don't treat him up here. When Dr. Johnson was here, he did all his surgery up here, his appendix and amputations or whatever needed, he did it.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good doctor. He next to Dr. Holt, I think he was one of the best. But it could be that way now, but they're not allowed to do it because of public health. If you know the difference between public health and general hospitals, if it had been trained and drilled into you like it has us,
mm-hmm.
you understand. I understand why they send them away all the time, but they could do more for them if they mm-hmm. would.
Well, if this is going to be their primary source of health care, then maybe they should think about that. Or at least work harder to teach people what this is.
Well, it's to teach preventatives. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. that. But so few people think about it. I mean, uh-huh. think of it that way.
Well, that's kind of the fault of the people up here, too.
That's the point you can bring If it was a general hospital, we'd be better off. Mm-hmm. Because they could do surgery then, and then they could do other treatments. I had real doctors come in and do it. But the doctors that come are doctors who are obligated to the government for paying their scholarship for their training. And they come in and they just want idle away time most of the time. I mean, until their 2 years are up, and then they could go and practice for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many sides to a question, to a thing like that.
Yeah.
And that, think about it. When you think about it, it's certainly the big puzzle.
Yeah. If it is a public health hospital, and that's what it is right now, then they should be stressing prevention, really hitting it hard,
teaching prevention all the way. Keep them from getting sick, and after they get sick, they're no longer for the public health hospital.
Yeah.
They go to a general hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But so few people know that.
Uh-huh. That's something that I've just learned recently, very recently. And you think hospital, and you just assume that it should be a regular hospital. They need incentives up there, I think.
They need a doctor up there that does no surgery, and one that's not just serving time, as the saying goes. One that's really interested.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dr. Trigg is.
I've heard a lot of people speak real highly of him.
I think he would be real good if he could.
Mm-hmm.
But he's restricted by being in a public health hospital.
Mm-hmm. There ought to be something that could be done, though.
Mm-hmm.
There really ought to be something that could
be done.
Something
could be done about it.
It's time to.
And the Indians don't know any. I mean, the council members, they don't know the difference. They don't know. They think a hospital is just a hospital. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that there's a difference between public health and just regular hospital.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it comes down to teaching people again what the difference is.
Go back to teaching.
Uh huh. Never going to finish teaching. Once you get one thing, it's going to be something else.
You go to the general hospital and take care of patients.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't prevent in a general hospital. They just wait and patch people up as they come through.
And one of the doctors in Branson asked the doctors up here why they didn't wear white or look like doctors. And the doctor said, well, I don't know. He said, when I came here, they told me that they weren't going to wear white because everybody from the orderly up wears white. And then